Sydney's still with us. Her internship ended, but it's good to still have her in the area and available to be on call for a crisis. And boy, we've had a crisis of late. And now that we've broached the subject of restaurants and relief efforts, let's go further and take in more restaurants. A whole bunch of them, more than 30, are lining up in an effort to feed the victims of the Almeda Drive fire. The effort is called Rogue Food Unites, and it rounded up more than the restaurants. It got farmers involved, too. Two guests join us. Adam Danforth has been a guest of the Exchange in the past. He is a chef and butcher and author as well. Adam, welcome back to The Exchange.
Jeffrey, thanks for having me on again.
Sure. We have with us Rico Velasquez, one of the participating chefs in the Rogue Food Unites effort. Thanks for joining us, Rico.
Thank you, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. So, Adam, start us off. I mean, how did the idea come together?
Well, when the fire hit, I think that, like so many people, the first thing was questioning, how do we help? And working in food and having a background in trying to build and strengthen communities through good food and strong agricultural networks, my own call to action was one of trying to figure out how do we look at this current crisis that is happening immediately and try to figure out the ways that we can intersect benefit of meeting the needs of the displaced and victims of the fire for the immediacy and long term, while also figuring out how to help that incoming relief aid money benefit our economy and also benefit the restaurant and hospitality industry, which I think our valley is so dependent on.
Right. And so there's a lot of spare capacity in the restaurant industry at the moment, isn't there?
An incredible amount, because, you know, 75% of restaurants in Oregon right now are at risk of shutting down because of the pandemic. And so they're already going through a crisis of their own. And what I didn't want to see was that we met relief aid in a food capacity with the victims with outside support that was going to then leave once the immediacy was over and the emergency stage was over. And once again, you know, not having our communities and our economy be supported upon the departure.
So who were some of the first people you called? How did you begin to unite Rogue Food Unites?
The first people I called was Jamie North, who owns Mix and Remix, and Melissa McMillan, who owns Samich, and Amber Ferguson, who also works with Samich and also Casa Bruno Wines. Three women I know who are incredible in their commitment to good food and also very good organizers and people who could, you know, make decisions quickly and help really galvanize a network of restaurants and chefs in the area in order to move really quickly at the speed that has been, you know, quite frankly, sort of like superhuman speed over the last couple of weeks and what we've needed to do and bring together.
Enrico Velasquez, tell us about you. Where do you work?
We have a food truck in Ray's parking lot in Tallinn, and it's been for the pandemic, like we closed 2 weeks before the fires. And so from there through last week, we stopped working almost like a month. Mm-hmm. And so I was no Jamie nor from a Mix. And she calls me to give me the opportunity to cooperate to the awesome group like Adam, Amber, Jamie, all the people help the community and helps small business too, Mexican restaurants. And like Adam Lee says, now we have like many, many restaurants like really without customers for the pandemic and now the fires, so affect a lot to the business. But now we take care for the community now.
So you said the food truck at Ray's, this is in Tallinn, right?
Yeah.
Closed 2 weeks before the fires?
Yeah, it was really close, and because I just leave the food truck in the parking lot, and I was trying to take it on Tuesday, but I told my wife, we can leave it there, and I can bring it tomorrow, because I clean, like, every single day the food truck. And I was cleaning and dropping everything in the trash. And so I was in the hurry because it was a busy day. And afternoon, I heard there was a lot of fires in Tallinn, and it was too late to go and pick up the food truck. But the food truck stayed, and Race was safe too.
So it survived?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it usable again? Have you opened again?
I think we can go open, not this Monday coming in, but the next one in 2 weeks. Okay. I think it's going to be good.
Okay, open up again. All right. And so so we're talking to the folks at Rogue Food Unites, bringing together restaurants and obviously at least one food truck and farmers as well, we haven't talked about yet. We're talking with Rico Velasquez and Adam Danforth. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions and comments welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So Adam Danforth, walk us through the supply chain. Where do the ingredients come from? Where are the meals prepared? Which meals, et cetera?
The, you know, the whole basis of the program is really to, one, as I mentioned, support our local restaurants and make sure that food is being made in COVID-safe, prepackaged ways that are met with the needs of the fire victims. That also means that we're making culturally appropriate food for the communities that were impacted by the fires. So a lot of it has to do with also then finding restaurants that are operational and able to produce, you know, 100 to 200 or more meals a day in that format. Most restaurants are capable these days. They've had to transition often to takeaway meals because of the pandemic. So All the restaurants were in a really unique position to already be well-equipped to meet the challenges of a crisis like this. As far as the supply chain, you know, we also want to give agency to or maintain agency with the restaurants. So, you know, while we are sourcing from local farms, we are accepting donations from farms that feel that they're in a position to offer that kind of support. We're also allowing chefs to pull from that pool of ingredients as they see fit and or order based upon the ingredients that they normally work with. So, you know, I really want to maintain the control with the restaurants of them being able to produce the food that they want to produce and the quality that they're normally used to doing and providing us with the number of meals we need, delivery to the locations at shelters and relief sites and things like that. And then we make sure that we're able to raise the funds and pay the farmers, pay the restaurants for those meals. So it's not a donation-based program, which is really part of how we're wanting it to be a stimulation of the economy, because restaurants, more than almost any other sector, are able to recirculate money through an economy. Almost 65% of the revenue at a restaurant maintains in the local economy, so that's why we're focusing on locally owned restaurants.
Mm-hmm. So if it's not donation based, and I assume you're not asking for the fire victims to pay for these, where's the money coming from?
Well, I should clarify that the funding is very much donation based. Mm-hmm. What we're asking from farms and restaurants are not donations. Uh-huh. You know, we want to pay our farm workers, we want to pay our restaurant owners, we want them to stay open, we want their employees to be paid fair prices. So to the fire victims, these are free meals. And where's the funding come from? Well, so far we've been able to raise a fair amount of money privately here locally mostly, mm-hmm. but it's a pittance, honestly, compared to what the program is going to need. It costs a lot of money to feed this many people that were impacted 3 meals a day for the term in which they're going to need our continual support. We have over 4,000 people that are suddenly homeless, and while many of them may have settled in places where they have access to good food and in a friend or a family's home or in other ways, there are thousands of people who we continue to support. 3 meals a day at fair restaurant prices means that we have a considerable goal of fundraising. Online, our fiscal sponsor is United Way of Jackson County, and they are, you know, our donation page there is aiming to raise $1.5 million, but that will really only allow us to operate maybe for a couple months, and we're really looking at a 6 to 12 month and beyond operation as we meet immediate packaged food needs to fresh ingredients and other ways that we can support good nutrition through their healing process.
We already got somebody asking about your website, so we'll mention that now. That's roguefoodunites.org, roguefoodunites.org, and we're linked to it as well. If you just go to our page at jeffexchange.org, and navigate down to the part of the blurb that says restaurants and evacuees combined needs. You'll find the link there for Rogue Food Unites. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk further with Adam Danforth and Rico Velasquez. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So Rico, and either of you for that matter, did either of you lose a home? Adam, did you?
Yeah.
I did not lose a home.
Mm-hmm. But Rico, you did, Rico, you're saying?
Yes, I'm at home.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So where have you gone since the fire?
So I live in Medford. Mm-hmm. And so we evacuated from I'm from South North and Medford. Mm-hmm. And so we was just get into my mother-in-law house and just stay there for like a week and a half, and then I got Jamie contacted me about doing the food for the fighters and for all the people that don't have a house, and so it was kind of sad to see what happens in Tallinn and Phoenix and just don't know when we can go back to do something for them, or how we can support the people. And it was just like so many things in my head that was coming in, and just these people come to talk to me, and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And it's been a lot of work, but it's been for really good reason.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So you didn't lose a home, but you did have to evacuate for a while, it sounds like.
No, we don't lose the home, thank mm-hmm. God.
Okay. So let's talk about your business, though, before the fires. I mean, since you're already a takeaway food stand, you're a food truck in a parking lot at the supermarket in the heart of Tallinn. Had you seen much change in your business? I mean, had that declined? Because you still got people out there who are going to want to get the kinds of food that you make.
This is a Mexican food truck,
mm-hmm.
and right now we're not open in there because we went to Tallinn to just serve to people. They don't have a house, they don't have something to eat, and we just stop by 7 in the morning through 11, sometimes in 1 p.m., and feeding all these people. They come to the food truck, and I make whatever they want.
Oh.
And breakfast burritos, lunch burritos, some tacos, and I've been parking the food truck in my house with all the power and everything, and just making burritos for all these people and just dropping at the expo.
Mm-hmm. So, Adam, talk about the expo, because that would seem to be the center of delivery for the food from Rogue Food Unites, but are there other venues?
The expo is certainly one of the places where there is a lot of people sheltering.
Mm-hmm.
The movement in and out of there, they also use it as a pickup location to then ferry food elsewhere. So we do deliver quite a bit of food to the expo.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing about the response from our communities in the fire has been how quickly and effectively, I think community organizations, especially the ones that are rooted in Tallinn and Phoenix, knitted together to create mutual aid sites around the region. So part of what we have been working on is, one, continuing to track where people are so that we know the numbers of food that is needed at mutual aid sites. We're really focused on not wasting food, not overlapping with donations that are coming into those sites, mm-hmm. and making sure that not only are people getting what they need, but that the money that we raise, you know, gets utilized most effectively. And then on top of that, you know, we've continued to try to build trust with these communities so that for ones who are sheltering in place or in areas that are much harder to get to, we coordinate with other people who maintain the anonymity or privacy of people who are, you know, in these homes or in certain neighborhoods, and then create drop locations where we can provide food and then other people take care of getting that food to the people who are in need.
So you've had to develop a logistics network pretty much overnight.
Yeah, I mean, a lot came together really quickly. And in these kinds of situations, I think it's just staggering to see what is capable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are recently securing some partnership with Red Cross that I think will really help on the logistical basis of being able to improve our way of understanding where people are and making sure that, you know, along with people getting food, they're also getting additional help in the form of aid, medical aid, other care treatments, spiritual support, and things that Red Cross can offer in conjunction with the food that we're creating.
So will the efforts of Rogue Food Unites allow some of the restaurants to bring back people to meet the capacity for what you're talking about here?
Gosh, I would hope so. I mean, right now, 40% of all people laid off in Oregon during the pandemic are part of the hospitality industry. That's an incredible number to contend with. And as I see my industry begin to decline, but also continue to adapt to try to meet it, this was sort of a challenge that was too great to ignore, that in order to us to really survive this, I felt like we had to figure out a way that we could, unfortunate idea, look at this opportunity of a crisis and figure out a way that we can benefit from this as communities and economy. And that's why I'm trying to intersect as many different ways for people to benefit from the money that comes in for food relief and get it to the people who are able to open, keep these restaurants open, keep the people employed, and continue to support the, you know, tourism and hospitality that we're known for.
I counted 37 restaurants yesterday. It looks like you may have actually gained another one since that time. Is it continuing to grow?
There are a lot of restaurants that are very interested in participating, and we've been really grateful for the support from them. And this last few weeks, I mean, we've been in this state of, it's a triage stage, really, meeting the needs and adapting and trying to develop systems. In the upcoming week, we're, you know, really refining some things, and we're going to be bringing quite a few more restaurants into production and online. And also, as the numbers continue to increase of what we're producing, that we will, you know, continue to spread that production across as many restaurants as we can. You know, there are days last week where we were producing over 2,800 meals a day. And to continue to do that on a regular basis, we need a lot of people participating.
I notice as I look at the list that La Tapatia is one of the participating restaurants, and La Tapatia lost its building in the fire. So you got even people who've been devastated themselves by the fire taking part in the process of helping people affected by the fire elsewise.
I'm glad that you noticed that, because, yeah, Jose from La Tapatia, you know, an incredible man and really a cultural hub in that area. And we are working with him and his staff to find a satellite kitchen so that they can begin cooking again and also cooking for their own community and supporting fire victims and getting back to work.
All right. All at roguefoodunites.org. Adam Danforth, the founder, Rico Velasquez, thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Short break coming up.